Everybody, welcome to Play This Podcast. I'm Carl Sudella, and in the studio with me, it's an intimate situation. There's candles lit. It's kind of dark, low lights.
They're going to see the video.
They're going to see the video.
It's not true. Like
that. It's just me and Hayden here in the studio. Hayden, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hayden Digman, is that right?
Digman.
Digman?
Yeah.
I said it quick, so just, you know, it sounds like Digman.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dig Dug. Anyways, speaking of video games, we're going to talk about E3 later. Just kind of what we expect is going to happen.
Yes,
and
we are.
Some of the things we're excited about. But first, we're going to talk about a couple things. One being a television show, one being a music service, and then also we're going to talk a little bit back in the video game realm about the Indie Bundle, which came out.
Yes.
The new one.
Yes, the new one.
Well, do you want to start with that one?
Sure. So Humble Bundle 8 came out, I think, yesterday.
I can't believe that there's that many of them already.
Well, it's sort of a Final Fantasy numbering scheme where it's Humble Bundle 8 in quotation marks. Because they've also had all sorts of like spin-off bundles and stuff in the same company.
But, yeah, that's true.
This one's really good. Probably the strongest one since 5, which was the one that had Bastion and Braid and or Bastion and Limbo and Psychonauts and all those games.
Yeah, yeah.
This one has Hotline Miami and Proteus and Awesome Knots and a bunch of other stuff. I can't remember.
And mainly it's the Hotline Miami pack because if you haven't played that, this is a perfect time to do it.
Yes, it is.
You get free game. You get other games, additional games besides that Awesome.
Yeah, Hotline Miami is a beat the average, so you have to pay more than what are $550, I think was the average last night. But it's still really worth it, and you get a ton of other games in addition. So,
by the way, side note, I love that game, and I love the soundtrack. I think I just heard one of the songs from the soundtrack in a commercial.
Really?
Yeah, in a car commercial or something. That soundtrack is awesome, and if you haven't downloaded it, by the way, well, if you haven't played Hotline Miami, go play it.
Well, yeah, if you get the game, you can actually get the soundtrack out of the game files.
Get the soundtrack. Yeah, you can
Steam.
Do it that way.
They're all OGG files.
OGG files, but you can actually purchase it, too, like on some, you know, whatever, Bandcamp or something. So that soundtrack's great. The game is great. So that makes sense to get it with the bundle.
Yeah.
But I haven't beaten it because I got stuck in that sniper area. There's this area where there's these snipers and there's like the SWAT team coming in. And you just get so mad you want to throw the controller.
Yeah.
But there's no controller. So I threw my mouse and I have to buy another mouse.
That game is hard.
It's so good too.
And it's one of those bad games like Super Hexagon's the same way where every attempt takes like 30 seconds. So you end up spending like... last night, I think I played till like 2:30 in the morning, and I meant to go to bed at like midnight, and instead it was like I shut down the game, and I was like, oh my god, I played that for 3 hours, like I just wanted to go to bed.
Because it's so easy to restart it.
Yeah,
it reminds me of like Meat Boy,
Fez
has some of that similarity, like, oh, I just fell, I'll try it again. I was actually last night playing, I'm starting this series on Twitch, where I just play a bunch of random, those Xbox indie games,
because,
you know. Why not? It's fun.
Indie games or arcade games?
No, the indie games.
Okay,
so
some of the really weird ones,
yeah. One of them was similar to that, though. It was Magnet something. I'm going to forget it. Sorry, guys. Magnetic something adventures. And it was a little guy who you kind of use your left and right trigger to pull towards different types of magnets.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, gravity kind of
shifting. Yeah, that sounds kind of cool.
And that's very similar, though, because I was like, oh, missed it, dead. Start over.
Yep.
Oh, missed it, dead. Start over. So as long as it gives you that option, you don't feel as bad. But even with that, Hotline Miami, still, I was like, you know what? I got to put this down.
Well, and eventually you get to this point where you're just mad at it. And so you're like, I got to beat this before I quit today.
Yeah, I know.
And it gets unhealthy. Like, there's an unhealthy obsession that forms with that game.
Well, get the bundle because it's a great time to get that game
with a bunch
of other games. And I was, when we first talked about it, I was like, well, you know, I already have all those games, but like you said, there's a lot of people that don't have all those games.
Yeah, so. Especially with weird indie games like that where you might hear about them and be like, oh, I'll get that eventually.
Yeah.
But there's no better time than when you can get, I think, 8 games for $5.
Yep.
So
go get it now. You heard it here first. Well, you probably didn't. it's been announced everywhere else. I want to talk about really quickly, and I do feel like we're going really fast. Like, Jenna, hurry up, hurry up. It's probably because it took us like 12 hours to set up this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just let the audience in on it.
We set up 2 different tripods.
Yeah, didn't work.
One of them didn't work. We had to resort to our last camera to get that part up.
And then some weird thing with the recording audio software.
It did not want to let me talk.
It didn't. It was like, Hayden, I don't think so. He's not on the show. So I want to talk about Longmire. You've probably, if you're listening at all, you've probably heard or seen the commercials. They're everywhere. You said you saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it when I went and saw Star Trek. They all of a sudden flash up the commercial, and I was like, third season? This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Oh, it's the second season.
Second season? Yeah. Okay.
I know, but me too, also. But that commercial was so memorable and has got that really memorable song
in
it.
It's got Starbuck in it,
and
right?
It's got Starbuck in it. And I was like, Starbuck. And then Lou Diamond Phillips, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll give him a chance. Well, we started watching, because on demand, they have all the episodes of the first season on demand cable. So we went back and started watching them, and I have two things about it. One, it's good. It's not terrible. It could have been bad. I feel like it could have been bad.
Yeah.
So it's good, especially the main actor. Forgive me for not knowing his name. I feel bad. But he is great, and Starbuck is great. Lou Diamond Phillips is very good. And for me, there's a couple positives and negatives. The positive is I'm native, and having a Native American anything in any show is, like, exciting. Now there's, of course, some, like, rough,
mean guys. Are you a big Prey fan also?
Oh, I am. I don't know if you're making fun of me or just congratulating me on my having natives in games.
Prey's a little weird because it has a native main character, but at the same time was like the most stereotypical like medicine man type drama.
And also he was like the main guy was kind of like dude-ish.
Yeah.
Really. He's like, dude, I got to save my girlfriend.
Yep.
You know,
and he was like not. He didn't want to be Native American. I'm gonna be a normal guy.
Yeah, he's like, and they're like, you must go on this vision quest. But hey, you know what? I'll take what I can get because the other thing is like, there's like a super deformed version of a Native American in like a platformer game.
Yeah,
come on. Like, and then of course, Prey 2 doesn't even have Native Americans in it. It's like some other white dude. Anywho, man, I've got off topic. There is Native Americans in this, and it's cool. It's represented really well, the Cheyenne and natives, and so that's kind of cool to see. And it's acted really well, and there's some really good music, stuff like that, really great, like, kind of at the end of the show, you know, like that one track, and you're like, ooh, it makes the whole episode feel great.
Yeah.
Kind of like Lost did.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah.
So I'm loving that part of it. The only problem, the main problem, is I feel like they're cramming, and this is season one, so they might have fixed this season two. They were cramming a lot of stuff into one episode, especially the pilot.
Is it a 13 episode season?
It's about that. Okay. I think it's 10 or 12 or something like that. So it's doable. It's just that they did cram a lot in the pilot. And then the second episode and third, it was definitely that Monster of the Week kind of thing, which I don't like.
Yeah.
So I'm a Justified fan. Do you like Justified?
I have not watched Justified.
Okay. You should watch that as well. Okay. So it's Justified is more of a, there's things that happen each episode. And you have a lot of shows like this, like Lost and BSG.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still that overarching kind of theme.
Yeah, it's like a Fringe was the same way.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little too much Fringe for me, for my taste, at least the first few seasons.
Yeah,
I just want it to be a little more.
That was the problem with Fringe was the first, like, 10 episodes were Monster of the Week. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, no, there's this huge overarching story. And I was like, okay, now you have sort of hooked me.
Yeah, but yeah. I got back more into it when that exact same thing. So that's my only complaint is that just for right now, I'm still in the season one. It still feels a little bit too much like that.
Uh-huh.
But they keep alluding to some really kind of interesting overarching things. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then it'll get canceled and you'll never know what happened.
I'll never know. Well, season two is out now, and season one is on demand, so just go check it out. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, I just wanted to mention Groove Shark. Have you used that ever?
I use Groove Shark every day, yeah.
Okay, great, yeah.
Yeah.
So Groove Shark's kind of in between. Like,
Groove Shark is at this point, Groove Shark is the least offensive version of music streaming on the web to me because there's no ads still.
Nope.
Except on the, like, they have, like, text ads, but I don't have to, like, listen to, like, oh, I'm listening to this great song, and then the song ends, and it's like, do you want new hair gel?
I don't want new hair gel.
No, I just want more songs.
Or actually, I do. Which, by the way, it reminds me, when we're watching things on Comcast On Demand, it's like just one commercial, which is kind of good, but it's the same commercial each time. It's for blackheads.
Yeah, it's like Hulu.
Oh, yeah, Hulu. But the one on Comcast Cable, it's like for blackheads. So we're like, we don't have any blackheads.
That's okay.
I
watch Hulu with my girlfriend, and so we get like, oh, I'll be watching by myself, and I'm like, oh, great, makeup commercials and stuff like that. I'm like, this is not applicable to me.
This ad is relevant to me. And you're like, damn it, it isn't for me. So Groove Shark is definitely in the in-betweens when it comes to it's a music streaming service. It doesn't have ads that way, but it also doesn't have every single song at all.
Yeah, well, and a lot of it's really sketchy stuff that it's like, oh, some user uploaded this song, but it's like a really crappy, like ripped version of Tupac from some YouTube video that somebody made.
Some of it is, and some of it is live, and some of it's legit full records.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know what deals went on, where this came from. Like, maybe here's what I think. In the beginning, it was like all.
Yeah, I think it was Wild West.
Yeah, it was all Wild West, but also very probably like some kind of blanket deals were done with like smaller labels, because there's full on. Records,
yeah.
You know, like, and like I do discography for some of my favorite bands, like Tool or some older band, Sonic Youth. They've got almost everything.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, there's a couple of these random tracks. You're like, that's from a show somewhere.
Yeah, or it'll be like mislabeled. Like it'll be like, oh, this is this song, and then you open it up and you're like, that's not this song.
Or there's like 1 million versions of one song, and then remix versions. You know, so it's interesting, and it doesn't have everything, but it also does have. Two new interesting things. One, it's got a new category now where there's the new music, and there are new albums, full albums coming into that.
Awesome.
So I don't get that. We should call them up or like have them on the show. Be like, what's going on there?
Yeah,
like,
what are you doing? I wonder because I'm pretty sure they do pay out, but I don't know how much they pay out.
Yeah. So then they have a new feature called Broadcast, which I just saw. And basically, you can do kind of like 8-tracks, which I've promoted a lot, where you can kind of what you're listening to, you can broadcast out as a channel. And just give it a name and be like, hey, I'm listening to this and go check out my mix.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what's different about that compared to what they used to do with just playlists. Because, like, I have a bunch of playlists saved Groove Shark. Like, one of my favorites is somebody put together all of the music that was in the Tony Hawk games back in the day into one giant playlist. And, like, I have that saved because why
you
not?
Should share that with me soon as this podcast is over.
Yeah, definitely.
There was also a game called Thrasher. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that game? It was PlayStation 1. And it was bad. Like it wasn't a good place. A good skateboarding game.
Oh, it's a skateboarding game.
I actually want to play it right now. It had some weirdly weird some of the first ragdoll physics.
Yeah.
So when you fall, it's just like wah, and it you know it looks like your arms are breaking. Yeah. But that had great soundtracks. Oh man, like
all those old extreme sports games. I mean, no matter how bad they were, it's like the BMX one, I remember not being.
Matt Hoffman's good.
Is it good?
You play the Matt Hoffman?
I haven't played it recently. I remember it being bad when I was a kid, but that's mainly because I probably didn't know how to play.
You were wrong. I'm sorry.
Tony Hawk, I knew how to play because played.
Well, Tony Hawk,
lot,
you can hit two buttons too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Matt Hoffman is interesting because I feel like it's the first one of the games that had this kind of a sports games that had weight. To the bike, you know what I mean? Because like, so you couldn't just like, with Tony Hawk, you fly everywhere, do whatever you want.
So it was more like skate.
It's more like skate.
I would appreciate it more as an adult.
You
than
would
I did
should
as
go
a
back
kid.
Right now.
Okay, yeah, I'll play.
How do we do it though? It's emulator probably only, right?
Emulator. I have a PS1 emulator on my computer.
Well, anyways, because it was great. It had a little. I feel like I remember that my brother was younger and he was like, "Oh, this is hard," and I'm like, "No, this is actually cool. It's like it would be hard to pull off." You couldn't just do like a 360 whatever.
Yeah, well, that was the fun about Tony Hawk was it was just like, well, I'm just going to do this million point combo every single time. But
and then at some point you're like, I want to play Skate.
Yeah, then Skate came out and Skate was amazing, especially the original.
Yeah. Let's talk about, so that's it. You should check out Groove Shark. It's still around. I don't know how they're functioning,
what's
going on.
It's still around for now.
I know.
Who knows about the future?
Yeah, use it while it's there. It's really cool, especially for older stuff. And then also, I guess let's just talk about E3 for a minute.
Okay.
Because that's going to happen really soon.
Because that's my life for right now.
You're going to be.
I leave next week, so.
Oh, you're going before.
Yeah, well, I went, for those of you who don't know, which is pretty much everybody listening, I went to school in Southern California, so I have a ton of friends down in LA, so I'm pretty much taking off for 2 weeks, too.
Oh, okay.
And then E3 is like right in the middle of this big vacation.
Wow, what a fancy vacation.
Yeah, it should be nice.
Well, it should be until I put you to work.
Yeah.
Because then it's
it's hellish.
But no, it's going to be great, and you should come out and say hi if you see us out and about, because you will. I have a pretty tight schedule, and we're going to be running around shooting things.
Yeah, which means I have a pretty tight schedule.
Which means you have a pretty tight schedule,
shooting
which
stuff.
We'll talk about. But yeah, it'll be great. I'm excited. I guess the big thing is to see PlayStation 4 next to Xbox One, kind of look at the graphic comparison, because we really haven't had a chance to do that for a while.
Yeah.
Like, hey, okay, let's see how they both, you know. But they're early games, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, I'm still curious to see if Microsoft's claim of 15 first-party games in the first year really holds up, because
I think it has to.
Who do they have first-party anymore? Is the thing that's what blows my mind is like I don't they haven't had any exclusive games in so long outside of Halo and Gears of War that I don't know what that even entails.
Yeah, what would that 15 be? I mean, you can think a couple of them could be fine, like two or three slots could be full.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many of those are just like Kinect games. Like
we got, well, that could
all that's what Rare's been doing for all this time, right? Like Rare is pretty much a shell of itself making Kinect games
Rare did Conquer, didn't they? Remember Conquer's Bad Fur Day? That's before your time.
Yeah, I think that's Rare. I can't remember. I Rare's game to me is Banjo-Kazooie because that was my childhood.
Yeah, Conquer was the first little... He was a squirrel, I think?
Yeah, he was
and
a
he,
squirrel.
And he, like, swore.
And he swore, yeah.
And there was, like, crap everywhere. That's the nicest way I could say it. Anyways, yeah, let's talk about Rare. That's sad. So, yeah, I'm interested to see Xbox One, PS4, and then, you know, Wii U are going to go to their software...
Yeah, software showcase on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and they'll be saying a lot of stuff in the Nintendo Direct, but I think the showcase will be really interesting to see what kind of games.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I don't know. I'm hoping something good comes out of it.
Do you have one? A Wii U?
No, I don't. And they haven't given me a compelling reason to buy one yet. I played Zombie U a little bit. It was fine. But
by the way, yeah, last time we talked, you were on the show.
Yeah, we talked about the Wii U for quite a while.
We did, for probably longer than anyone expected us to. But I've been having a good time. I've been really enjoying Lego City. That's my addiction. Because it's Legos, you're collecting things.
Yeah.
If you're OCD.
Yeah, I just did that over the weekend. I went back and 100%ed Tomb Raider and collected all the final stuff I'd missed.
Oh, I could do that,
too. That's a great game.
That is a great game. I can't wait for the DLC. When is that coming out?
I have no idea. I really want that game. I want more of that game.
I sure do. I should do too.
Uncharted was great, but now, like, to me, Tomb Raider is next Uncharted, where it's just like, oh, this is Uncharted, except I can actually, like, move around the environment. And
move around,
like,
great. And then you're kind of Katniss.
Yep.
You know, with the bow and arrow.
Yep.
You, I love how the seamless, we're talking about one old game basically now, but I love the seamless kind of to the QuickTime movie thing.
Yeah.
You're actually controlling those moments.
Yep.
It's not just like, just hit A and go through the passage. You're, like, pushing through the passage. If you stop, you stop in the middle of the passage.
Yep.
Something simple like that is such a nice touch.
Well, and the bow and arrow, like, I remember before that game came out, everybody was laughing because so many bow and arrow games came out this year. They nailed that bow and arrow.
They sure did.
I was so much more satisfied when I played that game with bow and arrow than every time I pulled out my gun and I would shoot off a few rounds, and I was like, it's just not as fun.
That's funny. I felt that same way. I felt like, especially because they had the fire bow and arrow,
yeah,
so you could set people on fire.
Yep.
Which I think really worked well in the situation where you're kind of low on ammo. You're like, well, I'll set this whole area on fire, and then I'll set him on fire, and I'll probably be fine.
No, it was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And going back, and the thing about collecting all this stuff is once you've beaten the game, there aren't really any enemies left. Like, they populate, like, two or three per area, but it's pretty much empty.
Oh, okay.
So then it's a lot more just, like, fun
Spelunking.
Traversal and just, like, jumping off cliffs and stuff like
That's
that.
That's cool. And they can also find all the ways that she can die, because
yeah,
I did that a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of weird animations in that game.
I watched I was falling asleep, and I saw Conan do his little, you know, Clueless Gamer segment,
mm-hmm,
and he did Tomb Raider, and he kept dying in this water part where the knife...
Is it the rebar? The
it goes rebar? Up her neck?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just kept dying that. To watch him be horrified by it was awesome.
Yeah, I died a lot in the ocean sequence. And you, like, jump out, and then you get swept back into, like, a coral reef and, like, smash her head on some rock. And
I did that, too.
I was like, that is just, like, I wonder, like, the sanity of the guy who had to make all those animations, like, how felt after that game was done. He
probably
was like,
fine.
This is horrifying.
No, he was probably like, he maybe came up with the ideas. He's like, listen, I got an idea. We're going to bash her head against a coral reef.
That's his outlet, and everybody...
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, what they compromised down to originally. It was, like, something even more horrific, and they were like, listen, man.
Listen,
like,
okay, she doesn't have to get decapitated every time. No, but listen, it'd be great. It'd be really awesome. No, okay, we'll compromise, and she get her head bashed in with a coral reef. By the way, speaking of deaths in water, and we're way off topic at V3, is I'm playing Lego City, and I love finding all the hidden Easter eggs. I have a whole show called Stuck on the Walls where I try to break games.
Yeah.
But I find, like, these little Easter eggs, and there's plenty of them in that. And I fall off this – I'm on the Golden Gate Bridge, basically, a fake version of it. And I decided to try to just jump off the wall, like, off the bridge, because that'd be fun, and see if I die or whatever. And I'm falling, and I land on actual pavement down there, some little area underneath the bridge, and there's some tokens and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, cool. But the minute I jumped into the water, a shark came out and ate me, right? But it's the infamous shark who's everywhere because they don't want you to swim at all in the area.
So it's Grand Theft Auto solution.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. It's like, oh, no, you can't even go near there. There's a new shark. Yeah. So it was a shark a minute or shark a second in those waters. I think that's such a cheap thing. But.
That is San Francisco, right?
Yeah, there is a lot of sharks here. Yeah. Weirdly enough.
None of them eat people, but.
No, but
there
they
are,
would.
There are sharks.
They would. I don't think they're one a second, but. So what else are you excited about for E3? I mean, I think the Wii U is basically just software. The Xbox will probably just talk. I mean, they have to talk about games because they didn't yet. And the PlayStation 4, we'll talk about more games.
I'm hoping we get more stuff from Remedy about whatever Quantum Break is, because that teaser trailer was just like...
Oh, there's a live action one.
Yeah, and then it was like half live action and then half like a little bit of gameplay at the end. And that was the weirdest, densest trailer I've ever seen out of a game company.
What did they do again? Alan Wake. Which had live action.
Yeah.
And then little TV sequences.
But Alan Wake is amazing. Like, I cannot wait to see what they do next, because they tell some crazy stories.
That's true. Alan Wake was, I mean, so out of nowhere for me. I think for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it reminded me so much of, and I know they took from Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
You know, just
and
felt
and
like
a lot
that.
Of Twilight Zone stuff on the TV show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to see more about that game. I'm also curious to see whether that game actually comes out when they say it does, because... I don't know if you remember, but Alan Wake was supposed to be a launch title for 360,
360.
And it didn't come out until like 2009, I want to say.
Yeah.
It took them forever. And Alan Wake was one of the games that sold me on the 360. Like, I saw that game and I bought my 360 thinking like, I cannot wait to play Alan Wake.
How
and it
cute.
Just like never came out.
Yeah. No, I didn't even. I guess I can't remember it being a launch title announcement.
But. Yeah, it was supposed to be like an. It was supposed to be an open world game, and it was supposed to come out like right in that launch window at the beginning of the cycle. And it was like one of those games you looked at and you were like, "Wow, this is next gen for real." And so, like, Perfect Dark Zero, which was shiny.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I think they've probably learned a lesson or two, and obviously they did release. The kind of follow-up DLC for Alan Wake pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're kind of on the ball.
That one was really Twilight Zone-y.
Oh, yeah. I still, not to get too nitpicky, because I love that series, but I still want, I wanted a little bit more different. I wanted them to break out of that engine that was the same old thing with the flashlight stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's too nitpicky, because it's great. Okay, so the other thing I would say is, it's interesting, we're going to try to look at some different angles while we're there for TechHive. Like, we're going to look at the PC angle, because that's, you know, a lot of times when I talk about games, people, you know, still bring that up and be like, hey, don't forget about the PC. It's still amazing. And
yeah, we got a Rome 2 coming out this year.
Okay.
Total War Rome 2. That looks really good.
And you know what? Strategy games, specifically real-time strategy games, are still hecks of popular.
Yeah.
Because if I go to Twitch.tv... It's pretty much the main shows. Like, all the shows are trash.
Well, Creative Assembly, their graphics on those Total War games are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Shogun was really beautiful, or Shogun 2 was really beautiful, and now Rome 2 looks amazing. The stuff that they're simming in there
is
impressive.
Speaking of, did The Sims come out for Mac yet?
I don't know. Did it?
I think it did. Oh,
I haven't followed The Sims in a few years.
Well, last E3, I talked to them about SimCity, and I was all excited, and then it didn't come out for Mac for a long time. But so we'll check on the PC stuff, because I do want to see what else is out there. I'm still waiting for, and I remember the days of where, you know, a big, kind of like in the console space right now, where a big game comes out for the PC, you're like, I need a computer to play this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really need...
Right. I mean, it's mostly CD Projekt, The Witcher 2 came out on consoles this time. But, I mean, I feel like every game's sort of been that recently, where if you look at the graphics on both, you're like, oh, man, I kind of want to play this on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one.
Right.
If you don't
but it's
have
not like you're
going
to go, oh, well, like, yeah, exclusive stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and back in the day, and I don't think so much anymore, but, like, the reason why it was only on PC is because of the certain, well, not just graphics, but the certain dynamics on how you played it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that a lot of a lot of games are being ported because they want, you know, to do that. So I don't know. We'll check on that space, though. And we're also going to check on the space of MMOs, because that's kind of a topsy-turvy world as well right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of in the console space, but it's usually done bad, like Defiance. You know, and it's definitely, you know, massive still for PC gaming and well, actually browser-based MMOs are huge.
Is Dust out now, or is that still technically in beta?
I think it's still in beta,
okay.
In quotes, yeah. Be interesting to see what they talk about, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, and then I guess what else are we going to talk about at E3?
Everything.
PC,
MMO,
and
a crazy year, yeah.
But it does sound like this is the most, because last year was a bunch of nothing really.
Yeah, last year was a pretty tedious. I mean, sitting through the press conferences last year was, oh, great.
Yeah.
Wonder Books.
Yeah, Wonder Books. We're supposed to review that first.
I hope we get more Wonder Books this year.
Wonder Books.
I hope that this is our gag at the beginning of the Sony press conference as they come out and everybody's like, oh, yeah, PS4 news. And they come out and they're like, so Wonder Books.
Wonder Books.
And they talk about it for 5 minutes and everybody's like, is this really what's going on this year?
Like,
and then they're like, just kidding. We canceled that project. Here's all your PS4 news.
So you want that fake beginning.
Yeah. Right. I think it would be amazing if they pulled out Wonder Books because, man, that was a disaster last
year. Sure was. But I love when things are even when they might have an idea that it's a disaster, they still like present it with such flourish. You know, like the little kids out there using it. This is going to be the next thing. And
No, that's what I'm most enthusiastic about with E3 is seeing what crazy thing is like the dumb thing we all laugh at this year.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's going to be
Lightsaber on. That was also a really good one.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting to see what it is this year because they keep topping themselves every year.
You put PR people and marketing people in a room and then a big event and you get weird things like that.
Yep, Cirque du Soleil. Do you think we see some Cirque du Soleil action this
year? I don't
think
so. I think that might be over. We'll let you know what happens. I'll follow our coverage. We'll probably be back for one more podcast next week and then we'll be there. I'd love to try to do a podcast from there, so I'll bring my little recorder. And so follow the coverage on techhive.com, and I think we'll have a category page, hopefully techhive.com/E3, but I'm not going to say that yet. You can email us at entertainment@techhive.com, and you can reach Hayden on Twitter at,
Hayden CD.
Just CD.
Yep.
Hayden CD. And I am Onawa, Onawa. That's it. Come back next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it over or are we not over?
I think it's over.
Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
It's pretty warm in here. I think it should
be.
It is
very warm.
Okay. All right, that's the real one. Ah, come on.